mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing.
The voice of the Messiah for you, bringing the Messiah, Jesus, to you and the Western Slope. Good morning from the Lutheran Church and School of Messiah. We are so happy you've joined us this morning on KNZZ as Pastor Mike Redeker shares God's love for you.
Though still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe.
Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia and amen. Good morning. This is Transfiguration Sunday, which means this is the Sunday that bridges the Epiphany season with Lent. And since it's Transfiguration Sunday, that means Lent begins this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, and I invite you to join us for worship every Wednesday for the next number of weeks. Worship begins at 7 o'clock, and we have a little meal, a soup and supper, ahead of time, just before that. So come and please join us. Be fed and be fed with God's Word. The readings for today, for Transfiguration Sunday, are Deuteronomy chapter 34, and also Luke 9, verses 28 to 36. Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth-Peor, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated, and the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was also of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The gospel for this Transfiguration Sunday is the transfiguration account of Jesus according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. And a voice came, And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had done. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us open up with prayer. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon for today is based on the Old Testament reading, and I'd just like to read verses 1, 4, and 10 for us to set the stage. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan. And the Lord said to Moses, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear precious, precious people of God, Robert Luke, prisoner number 118AZ. Robert Luke had a long history of issues that put him behind bars. He had served a year in a Navy prison for assaulting a Marine guard. He had been sent to San Quentin for stealing a car, carrying a gun, and assaulting another prisoner. He was sent then to McNeil Island in Puget Sound after helping to rob a bank. And he was eventually moved to Leavenworth, and from there to Alcatraz for trying to escape from Leavenworth. At Alcatraz, prisoner Luke could smell freedom. You see, during his time in prison, Robert Luke received letters from his family, but had few visitors. After a single visit to see Robert at Alcatraz, his brother found it so upsetting that he told Robert at that time he would never be able to come back. The smell of mown grass was a sensation that Robert, prisoner Luke, remembers triggering his epiphany. You see, it was a warm Saturday afternoon during a recreation period. He was sitting on the top step near the yard where other cons were playing handball. He gazed out at the Golden Gate Bridge when he became aware of a scent that he had not smelled in a very long time. It was the sweet smell of newly mown grass wafting over the bay on a breeze from San Francisco. "What am I doing here?" thought Luke, noting that he realized he should be where he could smell the grass every day. But upon more reflection, he realized that he had come to Alcatraz by his own choice, a series of decisions that he had made. So close, yet so far away. This was one of the more agonizing things for all the prisoners of Alcatraz. You see, they could smell the smells of freedom. They could hear the sounds of freedom. They could see the freedom happening in San Francisco, but they could not get there to enjoy it. So close, and yet so far away. And this is where we find Moses today in our reading. So close, he could reach out and almost touch the promised land. And yet so far away because he wasn't allowed to actually enter it. You see, Moses met with God on a number of times on a number of different mountaintops. For the last time in this reading, now he would climb the mountain to speak with God here on Mount Nebo. From the top of Mount Nebo, Moses could see a panoramic view that he could never, ever have imagined. You see, on one side, as far as the eye could see, was sand, the desert where he had spent the last 40 years of his life. But on the other side, as far as he could see, were palm trees with green grass, animals grazing in lush pastures. He could see everything that God had promised. It might have been like seeing only black and white, and then, as in the movie The Wizard of Oz, suddenly everything turned to color. There on the mountaintop, God spoke to Moses once more, reminding him of the covenant. "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants." You see, this was another sign that God really does keep all of his promises. Finally, the promised land. It might not have seemed fair, though, to have gone all that way for Moses from Egypt and through the wilderness, endured so many hardships, and then, not be permitted to set even one foot into the promised land. Earlier, you see, Moses had disobeyed God. You can read all about it in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 20. The people there were whining and they were grumbling once again because they didn't have any water. You see, they forgot that God has always taken care of them and he wasn't going to let them down and abandon them now. God heard their grumblings and he told Moses then to speak to the rock and it would bring forth water for all the people and their livestock. So Moses took the staff in his hand and said to the people, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water from you for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly. "Because you did not believe in me, says the Lord, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." In other words, God didn't allow Moses to enter into the promised land. He could see it, but not enter it. So close, and yet so far away. Do you live on Mount Nebo with Moses? You see, this is a reminder to all of us that no one can enter into the promised land, heaven, simply because we think we deserve it. You see, Moses had served God faithfully for those 40 years, but it was just that one little slip-up, striking the rock only two times rather than speaking to it, that kept him from going into the promised land. Doesn't seem fair, but close didn't cut it. So close, and yet so far away. What was going through Moses' mind as he neared the promised land? Like a movie flashback, did he remember the time many years before when Moses first called him through the burning bush at Mount Horeb? He was just minding his own business, tending his father-in-law's sheep, when all of a sudden God broke into his life. Unannounced, unexpected, didn't ask Moses for that at all. He just simply did it. And as Moses came near to the Lord, Moses realized his unworthiness to be in the presence of this almighty and holy God. And when God told Moses that he would be the one to bring God's people out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, well, Moses felt even more inadequate. Do you live with Moses on Mount Horeb? But God was faithful. He equipped Moses for the task. God showed his power through Moses' weakness, and this all began for Moses on Mount Horeb. You might feel inadequate. You might feel unworthy to even be in the presence of God. And we all are inadequate and unworthy. We all are so close and yet so far away. You might not feel up to the task or worthy enough to be one of God's witnesses either. You're not going to have a burning bush experience on Mount Horeb like Moses did, but the very same God, and voice in the burning bush on Mount Horeb is the very same God who is with you. Neither you nor I are good enough for God to use in his work, but God uses you and me anyway. He's equipped you with his Holy Spirit. As Moses was on Mount Nebo, going back to Mount Nebo, looking to the promised land, he might have reflected on the time when he met God on yet another mountain, Mount Sinai. There is where God gave Moses his law. Here and there is where God made Moses the lawgiver, pointing out God's standards for his people's living. You see, if a person thinks he or she can get into the promised land by keeping the law and God's rules, then they have to keep it all, and all of them perfectly. Not one little slip-up, not one little mistake, or it's all over right then and there. Now, while he's on Mount Sinai with God, while all of this is taking place, what was going on down in the valley with God's people? Well, down from Mount Sinai, God's people were melting gold, fashioning the false god of the golden calf. They couldn't even last just a few days without committing grievous sins against God. There at the foot of Mount Sinai, Moses realized that not one person would be able to please God and enter the promised land by trying to keep God's laws and rules perfectly. You see, friends, it just cannot happen. Not even for Moses. Remember, Moses was faithful to God for all those 40 years. He slipped up just once in anger. He struck the rock only twice. What a little sin, rather than speaking to it. But that was enough. That was enough to keep him out of the promised land. So close, and yet so far away. Many people today live on Mount Sinai with Moses. They think that by living God's laws and keeping God's laws and rules, that somehow God will let them into the promised land of heaven. Oh, they know that they can't live a perfect life. They can't do it really well, but they try. They're going to make some mistakes, but God certainly wouldn't keep them out of eternal life in heaven with him because of just a few little technicalities, right? Well, try telling that to Moses. If you live on Mount Sinai with Moses, living by the law, you will not make it into the promised land. You'll find yourself so far away from it, not even close. Maybe close enough to smell the fresh mown grass of heaven, but you won't be allowed in to the promised land. So today, we find Moses again meeting with God on the other mountain for the last time, and this is Mount Nebo. Not only did Moses see the promised land ahead of him, the promised land that he wasn't allowed to enter, but he also looked backwards to see the desert and wilderness that he'd been wandering around in and leading God's people through for the last 40 years. So, is he in the promised land, or is Moses on Mount Nebo still in the wilderness? Well, technically, he was still in the wilderness because Moses never ever made it into the promised land. And there in the wilderness is where he died. But God himself, as we heard in the Deuteronomy reading for them today, God himself tenderly buried Moses because he had a very special relationship with Moses and Moses with God. Many people today find themselves living on Mount Nebo with Moses. They desperately would like to get into the promised land, and they're still stuck, though, in the wilderness and deserts of their past. They're not able to move forward because they simply cannot get past their pasts by themselves. They live on the edge of their wilderness of failures, sins, and their pasts, so close, and yet so far away. Now, this would be a hopeless sermon if it weren't for God's grace and a couple of other mountains that Moses was on. You see, God buried Moses, but God kept Moses for himself for a very special purpose. You see, Moses appeared with Elijah and Jesus on the mountain of Transfiguration. There on that mountain, Moses points us to the one greater than himself. He points us to Jesus Christ. Moses was a servant of God, as the Bible tells us, but the Bible also tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 that Jesus is the Son of God. On this mountain, the mountain of Transfiguration with Elijah and Moses, Jesus reveals himself, his true nature, as God himself. You see, Jesus is the one who was with Moses on Mount Horeb in the burning bush. Jesus is the one who was with Moses on Mount Sinai, giving him the law. Jesus was the one who was with him on Mount Nebo and who tenderly buried him. And now, on the mountain of Transfiguration, there Moses met God face to face in Jesus Christ. And Jesus would be the one to lead his people into the promised land of heaven. And Jesus also would be the one who would lead Moses into the promised land as well. No longer left in the wilderness. So close, and now there. The words of the Father, "This is my Son, my chosen one," was directed to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. You were and still are connected to this Jesus in your baptism. You see, God's gift to you is that Jesus' story now has become your story in baptism. That means the Father's declaration to Jesus is his declaration to you. Yes, you, right now. This is my Son. This is my daughter. This is my chosen one with you. Yes, you, I am very well pleased because of Jesus Christ. To accomplish all of this for Moses, for you, and for me, we need to go yet to one other mountain to meet God. This is a mountain that Jesus had to climb alone. This is the mountain where Moses, you, and me should have climbed, but God in his mercy and love sent Jesus to climb this mountain for you. For only Jesus could go to Mount Calvary to die on a cross to save us from our sins. Only Jesus could carry out what needed to be done in order to lead us to the promised land of heaven to live with God forever. Jesus went to Mount Horeb then to collect all of our failings and unworthiness that would keep you from entering the promised land. Jesus went to Mount Sinai to collect all of your sins that you commit against God's law that would keep you from entering the promised land. And Jesus went to Mount Nebo, where you were still living in the wilderness and deserts of your wanderings and past, to point you forward and lead you into the promised land. What seemed so close yet so far away is now yours. Yes, yours, through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Your sins are completely paid for on the mountain called Calvary. Jesus now has made you more than adequate and worthy to be in his presence. He took our unworthiness to the cross and exchanged it with his worthiness on Mount Calvary. Your wanderings and desert pasts in your life had completely been erased on Mount Calvary. And there on the mountain of Calvary is where Jesus took care of everything for you, and even Moses' sin of striking the rock two times with his staff. So upon which mountain do you live? Don't live on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, or Mount Nebo. Go to Mount Calvary along with Moses as Jesus leads you to the empty Easter tomb where you already are a part and a citizen of God's promised land. It's no longer so close yet so far, but rather for you, dear friend, it's right here. And right now, in Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Christ is born, Christ is risen, and Christ is coming again. Alleluia and amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the benediction, or the good speaking of the Lord, for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and he is gracious unto you. The Lord looks favorably upon you, yes, you, and he gives you his eternal and transfiguration peace. Amen.
Oh.
Our prayer is that God's word and love has reached you this day. God really does love you. Yes, you. We would like to hear from you. If you enjoy this program, please let us know by contacting the station or calling our office. We also appreciate your support through prayer and any financial contribution you may be able to help us with. If you would like to help with this ministry through financial support, please call our office. Our number is 970-245-2838. That's 970-245-2838. God bless you. This has been Pastor Mike Redeker, and you have been listening to The Voice of the Messiah for You, a program of the Lutheran Church and School of Messiah. Please stay tuned for The Lutheran Hour following this program. The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. God's richest blessings to each and every one of you. Have a great week in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us this morning on The Voice of the Messiah for You. The Lutheran Church and School of Messiah is a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Our address is 840 North 11th in Grand Junction. We are located two blocks south of North Avenue, directly across from Lincoln Park. Come as you are. Jesus reached out and ministered to all people. No one is perfect, and neither are we. We invite you to join us and be our guest at worship. We have a blended worship on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m., worship on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:30 a.m., with the study of God's Word at 9:30 a.m. We also offer a Christian day school, serving preschool through 8th grade. If you are looking for a church home, or you have questions about who Jesus is, please feel free to contact us. Our phone number is 970-245-2838. That's 245-2838. We look forward to connecting with you. God's blessings to you this week. This has been The Voice of the Messiah for You.